Dr. John Steinbrecher, really?
The commissioner of the MAC just called in.
John, what's up?
How are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
I'm angry about this,
John. Are you going to school us up on this?
Well, you don't have to be angry. It's a fascinating discussion.
Yeah.
And there is some background to it.
Yeah.
And part of it, the transfer rules go way, way back, and there's a lot of legacy in and around them. The rule speaking to needing to put a year in residence in before you're eligible again when you transfer gets tied back to academic reasons. There's a whole raft of data you can point to that shows when a student transfers, it takes them a longer time to graduate. They lose credit hours in the process, et cetera, et cetera. And so there's a whole mess of that. And so that's part of what's tied into. You are correct. There are five sports that there is no one-time transfer waiver. All the other sports, as you've identified, do have a one-time transfer waiver that you have to hit a couple things. You have to be eligible, otherwise eligible at your school if you had stayed there, and a few other things if you want to go. There was a transfer working group that spent about a year and a half focusing on all of this. And at that time, I don't know that you can go back and put the toothpaste back in the tube. And so to go today, to go back and say, okay, across all these sports, I'm a little bit where you're at. I'm not sure you can go and change that today. But we need to help kids make thoughtful decisions in what they do.
But what I don't understand, John, is, and we appreciate that you're calling in, is that I understand what you're saying about academics, and for a lot of students, probably especially in your conference and the smaller conferences, I think that is a bigger deal. When we're talking about, you know, certainly the Big 12 and the Power Five conferences, I don't believe that's not the reason why, in my opinion at least, that the schools want to prevent kids from transferring. They don't want it to become where kids can transfer all the time. Because
like
they want
competitive advantage.
They want to be able to control the situation. And when coaches and commissioners and athletic directors can go wherever they want at any time, to me, whether you lose good coaches because they sign contracts with your schools and then they go to a Big Ten school or whatever, and the schools in your conference get screwed even though they signed contracts and they were committed on their end, but the coach wasn't on their end. And yet the players who are young men and women, 18, 19 years old, who adults should know better, at 18 and 19 we often don't, as you know, they're forced to stick with their commitment or their penalties, and yet there's no penalties for the adults who are getting paid.
Well, if you talk to coaches anywhere, no coaches are real about transferring. Everybody thinks everybody's stealing everybody's players. But actually, look at the data. Some federal or they go down at the end of the day. But clearly, there are those cases, and high profile. You know what? You're right. Coaches leave. Administrators leave. They are often dealing with contractual issues, and so there may be some things that student athletes aren't employed, as you, I think, correctly noted here. And so somewhere in here, there has to be a balance towards the student-athlete has a handle. And there's a lot of things that are important. There are some balance towards the team. And that's where the argument is right now.
Right.
And it's a fascinating argument. We're clearly in a day and age where student-athletes probably have more rights perceived or otherwise than they ever have. We're 1 year into this thing called the transfer portal, where no longer can a school block a student athlete.
Right, which is good.
It's brought transparency to the whole thing, but we're only 1 year in. And so the question is, what's it going to look like 2 or 3 years from now? Because what's occurring right now, what's occurring this first year, is there are a lot more people in that transfer portal than there are places. And so what we're going to hear about in July, September, October, are from the kids who signed the transfer portal, didn't think through the ramifications, and now don't have a scholarship and don't have a spot anymore. Mm-hmm. And now they're going to start squealing about, wait a minute here, this is a better. Well, I can tell you, in our league, before a kid gets placed in that transfer portal, they're sitting down with the compliance coordinator they're signing off on a form, and it explains exactly what their rights and obligations are and what the school's rights and obligations are, and so that there's no misunderstanding. But, you know, I get it. Kids, and let's face it, kids, when they transfer, by and large, if they're athletes, they're not transferring for academic reasons.
That's more right.
often than not. It's for athletic reasons. And so somewhere in there, there's a balance, because free agency is not going to be helpful. That's not helpful for the kids. It's not helpful for the teams. So somewhere in there, there's a balance. And that's just the system.
We're talking with the commissioner of the Mid-American Conference, who just happened to be driving around listening to our conversation. Dr. John Steinbrecher calls in. Commissioner, let me ask you a question, and you may hate the idea of this, but we've talked about it a ton on this show. You know, especially, it's maybe a little different for the Mid-American Conference as opposed to a Power Five, like a school like Alabama, Ohio State, the big dogs, in terms of the players' likeness and being able to compensate them at some point when they're still in college. What do you think about that?
Yep. Well, the NCAA's got a group looking at it. I think we're headed towards something. And it's not as easy as like most things, it's not as easy as clear-cut as it appears to be. And so it gets into the concept of third parties compensating the student-athlete for endorsements of some sort. That's the basic gist of it. It's not the school paying them. They're not an employee of the school. It's some third party. Maybe it's an autograph session. Maybe it's they do a commercial, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
That sounds easy enough. The challenge is, what is the true marketplace? And so can you get it at a true marketplace, or are you going to have all these artificial markets set up? Where, you know, if you're a recruit at school X, everybody, you know, all the linemen at that school have a car deal all of a sudden. Mm. And it's not really, then it's not a marketplace thing. It's a booster paying a student athlete.
Sure.
That's not the intent. And so that's what you got to try and prevent occurring, as opposed to, you know, that we can all point to, there's a handful of college athletes, you say, they probably have some endorsement value. The vast, vast majority probably have very little.
Right, but it would play itself out in a natural way if there was a market for it and guys weren't ineligible. But you, even in recent years, with a Kyler Murray or a Baker Mayfield or
those
a Tim
are
Tebow,
outliers. But
yeah, sure. But okay, so guys, but they're not outliers, because those are outliers in terms of serious money, maybe huge money. But all players at big schools, any Ohio State player,
listen,
is going to get an autograph signing.
If you start
and things
at Ohio
like that,
State, you're
starting. You're
going to
make
money. You're not going to the NFL. But I saw this when we won the national championship. Every single senior on that team, because they were allowed to, they made probably $100,000.
Exactly.
For autograph sessions.
And guys at Ohio State, at Alabama,
and guys,
at Michigan.
Those guys, a year later, they're not worth that much money.
That's right.
Because they're not playing football anymore.
And some of these guys are losing out on monetary opportunity. You talked about it. You're right, John, that there's not a lot of guys that would have the Tim Tebow and Baker Mayfield and stuff like that. But there's a lot of guys that play for these big schools that could make money during their college careers that won't, and now they'll be out of luck after college, and they'll never have a chance to make up that money again because they weren't good enough to play professionally.
Well, a couple questions for you. Where do you draw the line at this? Okay. If it's okay here, is it okay at the high school level? Second, and I get back to this, there's a true marketplace and then there's an artificial marketplace drummed up because, oh, we're going to support our team. Okay, so I do an endorsement deal with Athlete X. He has a bad game. He has a bad year.
Right.
Like, I'm essentially, you know, so you end up with a little bit what you see in the pros.
Yeah.
You got a lot of people talking to the coach. Second, what you may see is a shift of dollars of industry or business X gives so much to the universe, you know, the athletic department to support the athletic program. Well, what you may then see is those dollars end up becoming endorsement dollars for football players or basketball players.
Yeah.
And that comes at the detriment of the rest of the athletic program. And so, you know, there's a lot of,
it's a free market. It's sometimes, you know, people are going to get penalized. It's a fascinating conversation.
The question is it really a free market or not, or is it an artificial market?
Well, but it's not a free market
for recruiting purposes.
Right. No, you're right, John. It's a good point, but it's also, I don't know, these football programs are worth a ton of money, and the players get nothing.
Oh, don't say nothing.
well, they get not enough compared to what the coaches
and athletic directors. That's a reasonable argument.
Yeah.
They get it. I tell you what, sign me up today for what these kids are getting.
The scholarship? I mean, what else?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Scholarship, nutrition, academic support, social support, mental health help. There has never been a better time to be a student athlete.
You're right about that. I mean, it's unfair to say there's no benefit to being a student athlete.
But I also understand the argument you're making. So, yeah. I mean, that's we can have a reasonable argument. And, I think we're headed towards something. It's how do you manage it in a way. It's not as simple as saying, let's do like we do in the Olympics. You know, France isn't recruiting against England.
Right. But
Auburn is recruiting against Alabama. And that we've shown time and again in the enterprise of intercollegiate athletics, if some ice cream is good, a lot of ice cream is better. We seemingly can't control ourselves.
Right.
And that's where it blows up and it gets crazy.
Hey, John, we're up against it. We appreciate you calling in. It's a really good insight. And we'll see you July 23rd in the Motor City, Detroit, for the Mac Media Day.
We'll look forward to seeing you.
Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, man.
Take care.